Welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast, a show for marketers by marketers to talk shop and share insights on the ever-changing landscape of the digital world. My name is Katya Allison, and I'm your host on this exciting journey as we talk to our experts who join us. In every episode, we aim to help marketers maximize their potential by getting real with industry experts across multiple industries and disciplines. From influencer marketing to e-commerce strategy, we talk through it all and leave you with actionable tips to help you in the day-to-day of marketing. My guest today is Sunir Shah. He's the founder and CEO of AppBind. He ran partnerships at FreshBooks, marketing at Olark Live Chat, and founded the Cloud Software Association, the 4,000-plus SaaS partnership network. We're going to dive into creating authentic partnerships with customers, and I promise it will be both entertaining and informative. So put your AirPods in, turn up that volume, and get ready for my guest today, Sunir Shah. Sunir, welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast. I did have a mental pause with the pronunciation.
Thank you, Katya.
Exactly. Well, we're just going to mispronounce our names. That's going to be the podcast. So I'm excited to dive into talking about relationship marketing. Before we do that, introduce yourself. Who are you? What's your expertise?
Oh my gosh. I'm in a swivel chair in a hotel. I'm having too much fun being, I should just get a cat and then turn around and be Dr. Evil.
From Inspector Gadget. I love it. What a great old school reference. I love it.
So I'm Sunir. I'm CEO of a company called AppBind. We help agencies set up the subscriptions for their clients so they stop wasting time burdening their clients, setting up subscriptions to ads and software themselves, which aggravates them. And also without getting your client subscriptions tangled up on your own credit card as an agency, which is a financial nightmare. And, you know, conversely, you know, for the client, they just want you to take care of it and we allow you to do that. And, you know, I got into this mess because I've been really into partnership marketing for so many years. I started the marketing and partnership teams at FreshBooks, if you know that. Probably a lot of you are using that. And, you know, we spent, actually, my first title was community development, which is why I'm on this podcast about relationship marketing. Mm-hmm. But what I think I learned about partnerships is really it is relationship marketing. You know, there's a lot of interesting problems that come with that. I think it could be mysterious to someone who's not used to it, but it's actually... Like, I think it's just all from high school dating, honestly. So we're just going to either fix your Tinder profile today or fix your business. Those are basically the only two things that can help.
Either one, things are going to get solved. That's
true. I actually have no idea use Tinder at all because it came out after I got married. And there was a moment I installed it. I tried to on my phone thinking, I just have to see how this app works. And I realized it would end up on the iPad, the family iPad immediately. And I was like, cancel. Nope. I don't want to explain that to my wife.
That's a whole different podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's dive into relationship marketing. What does that mean?
So I'm going to be talking about from a partnership point of view and then why it matters. You got to understand, first, the greatest book ever is Crossing the Chasm by Geoffrey Moore. And he explains what a market is. It's a defined group of people who refer to the common reference points for information about what to buy and even what problems they have. Mm-hmm. Idea of referring to other people, often people mistake as word of mouth marketing, like me and you talking right now, but it's actually any reference point they use. It's like, you know, it could be blogs or podcasts or magazines or the other software companies, service companies, billboards, whatever, marketplaces, retail, wholesalers, any point in the market where it's helping them figure out what their problems are and what the solutions are. That's what forms that market. And so what is relationship marketing fit in? One of the most important things to understand as a marketer or a business person, your customers do not care about you at all. And it's not because they don't like you. Maybe they'll hang out with you at a hockey game or for dinner, you know, as a person, but they have their own lives, right? Their own businesses that they have to focus on. It's our job to focus on them as a business. And so if they're already going to buy from you, whether they're a consumer or a business, they already have their life sorted, right? They have to get through every day with or without you. And so they already have an ecosystem of solutions and processes, right? And then so they have to look out for solutions out in the market and information like this. And so where does relationship marketing fit in? Well, it's not where direct marketing fits in. Direct marketing is where you can basically buy your way into a placement. So you can either buy an ad or you could do a guest post or PR or SEO or all that stuff. Yeah, that's great for the direct marketing team. But there's a lot of things in that ecosystem around that customer where they go to other companies or people, right? And then they're the ones you have to work through in order to get your story told to the customer. And that's where you need a relationship, is where you need to get someone else to tell your story to the customer. And you need, and, okay, you know, and they get to decide whether they do that or not. It's not like you can buy a placement or not. And, you know, some of that might feel common to PR or guest posting. And yeah, in fact, that is one form of partnership, is brand partnerships, which is, you know, honestly what Grimm does a lot of, right? So that's like the simplest version, but it can go all the way up into building like major distribution deals where you, this company, like, it brings you into every deal they have. Like that's like the ultimate goal. And so they're all on a spectrum of getting someone else to basically tell your story or market you or sell you to their customer, not because they like you so much as friends, but because you have actually added something to them that they can bring to the customer. And that's probably what we're going to talk about today, is like that actually element is the hinge point that I think a lot of people screw up, is like understanding, you know, how the stories flow.
Well, and it makes me automatically think of influencer marketing, because to me, that's a very tangible example of finding someone that's going to share your brand story, connecting to their particular audience. What other examples are there for a brand?
For brand partnerships?
For executing on like, or developing that relationship in order to share that your story with that customer on the other end of it.
Yeah.
Is so it not the brand to the customer?
There are four kinds of partnerships that we talk about. So, and I run the Cloud Software Association, which is for all the SaaS companies, all the partnership people. So we talk about this stuff endlessly. There are four main types of partnerships. Mm-hmm. They're all the same, but different in the execution and the degree. Okay. But they all have the same component, that someone else is telling your story. So one is what we call brand partnerships. It really just means that they're going to talk about you. There's no integration. There's no commercial terms. There's no like hard substance. It's just they're willing to talk about you. Maybe you'll pay them for it, like an affiliate link or something. But it's really just, I'm telling your story. It's just a communications exercise, you know, and that can be any, like, you know, I have this thing called the indecent proposal that I do when I do partnership deals, because it's awesome. So one of the things that comes up a lot when you're trying to negotiate with somebody is something called partnership poker. Mm-hmm. And the reason why that happens is that everybody who does partnerships is freaking out all the time, because they have so much risk in this game. And they, you know, think about a partnership person. They are betting their company's resources, money and people and engineers or whatever it is, on you, another company they have no control over, right? And if they say no, they don't know how you're going to emotionally react. And so there's so much risk. And all they have is their reputation and charm to make the deal come through. And what you'll find is inexperienced partnership people, because they watch movies, you know, about how to negotiate, which is very dramatic in Hollywood. But this is not how normal professional negotiators work. They end up doing partnership poker, trying to be tough. Like, I'm a tough person. I'm a tough cookie. You convince me. It's like, you called me. I love that when they call me and then they start giving me a hard time. Like, you called me. Don't give me a hard time. You owe me a dinner. That's how this works. But like, the reason why they do that is that they're freaking out. So they don't know how to react. And if you're freaking out too. So I just have this game called the indecent proposal to break through the ice. And you got to think about it as a business case. It's just a business. Like there's no emotions involved. We could buy your company for $1, or you can buy ours for $1, or we can do just a tweet at each other. And I open with like the acquisition thing for such an absurd price as $1, because that's clearly a joke, because it cuts through the idea. We can think of anything's on the table, but also that I might be open to acquisition, which means that I'm open to any kind of conversation. And I talk about a tweet, which also means that I'm not demanding a lot. And I set the spectrum here as like the range is so big. And then we can have a good conversation about the business cases. What are the options? So, you know, answering your question, like what's available as a brand partnership, all partnerships include the Marcom part of partnerships. So it's all these things. So can we, you know, we can just tweet, we can run a Twitter campaign, just like, hi, I love you. You know, respond to my post. You know, we can be friends on LinkedIn. You just share my stuff. I share yours. That's like the least attempt. You could also, you know, newsletter blast, you can have a webinar, you can do podcast interview, you can invite someone on stage at your conference, vice versa. You could do a cocktail party together. You know, there's a lot of things you can do in the Marcom field. And really the way to think about it is, what is your existing Marcom strategy and how can you have a partner's story add to yours, or have your stuff add to their Marcom mix? Right. And people just think about checking the tactics down. Like, I want a blog post, a newsletter, or whatever. Yeah, those are numerically valuable. But really, there's a customer who has to receive this information. What you're trying to do is make the story they're trying to achieve with their MarCom better with your story. And that's really, you know, once you see what they're doing in MarCom, you can say, well, I have this story that I can add to your editorial calendar in these number of ways. So there's actually a fair number of things you can do. You know, you can even create, I've done it. You can create like little microsites. You can have a bundle deals. You can have a whole, you can do anything. You can, I put brochures together, you know, of all the partners and put them out on, you know, every hotel door at South by Southwest. You know, I've done guerrilla marketing with them. You know, there's any number of MarCom exercises you can do in a brand partnership, but we didn't do any integrations. You know, I can just market their stuff alongside mine because the idea is our products together are solving a common need. And all you're trying to do building the brand position of the customer is combined. We're solving a problem that you have. We have answers. You know, that's really the main thing.
What I'm trying to figure out the connection of is where the relationship comes into play. I think that you're describing a lot in regards to like the partnerships, which would be, you know, me as a company with a partner that I have, and then in order to reach that customer. So am I looking to develop a stronger relationship with this partner so that I can have a strong relationship with my customer? Is that where I'm going to gain that lifetime value of really investing in relationships?
Yeah, I like to flip these questions around and think like more strategically, because it's good to know everybody. But if you want to build a program out, how do you do it? Because there's only so much of you and there's a lot more partners. And so if you're thinking about it as a professional partnership person, it's not this one person you met at a conference who you happen to get along with. And maybe you'll get lucky. But if you're building a partnership program, you got to think about it more programmatically. And so this is the way I think about it. Like number one first, I know this, again, I'm not answering your question. I'm doing it obliquely, but like hear me out. So number one, I find that partnership people are at the company, the people who understand the position the position of that product or service, like that company, better than anyone else at the company. VP marketing or sales or CEO may disagree with you, but they're always wrong.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. Partnership people are the best. We're just better at everything. No, the reason why we care about positioning, if you know Al Ries and Jack Trout's book, it's like how the customer organizes you relative to everything else in their mind is because that's what you do as a partnership professional. You're trying to fit the company into this ecosystem that is in the customer's mind. And you have to map out like who are all these people and then how do you fit in and how does the customer understand these people, these other companies and how you fit into their story. First, the positioning of where you fit into the map of the market. That's the partnership's job. And then second, you have to be really good at messaging because it's broken telephone, right? So you're getting someone else to tell your story. Yeah. They're not going to put up with what the CEO would describe, which is like a 17-minute dialogue about his history from when he was 4 years old and got here. And he was in a skiing accident and he met. No one's going to be interested in your story, CEO. They have to have a two-sentence version of the company's position because whatever message you're giving to the partner, they have to add it into something that's even more important to them, which is how they sell themselves to their customer. Again, your partners also don't care about you because they might take you for dinner, they might come to your wedding, but they have to focus on their own sale. And so your job when you're selling through a partner is to figure out how your message and positioning fits through a partner. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now where does the relationship marketing, how do you do it? Well, if you work backwards, and I think this is the part where everyone has trouble. It's like the customer is the one with all the money, and so they have all the power. And so who does the customer need in order to buy your product? Who's not you? Those that you need a relationship with, whether it be other software, I mean, I'm a software business, but like other software companies or service companies, like this is what Appline solves is all the implementation partners. And that's the world I live in with B2B SaaS. But if you're in e-commerce, it could be comparable products. It could be wholesalers, distributors, retailers, whatever they are. It could be markets. You know, if you do farmers markets, you know, if you have a product CPG and that fits in a farmer's market, there are like aggregators for farmer markets in Toronto who will pick up your product and take them all around the city for you. And whatever it is, you got to figure out who your distribution chain is to the customer.
Yeah.
And then you map them out and then you have to run a campaign to build relationships with them. And so the way I organize this, because I am a robot partially, is I actually map them out on a spreadsheet. And this is the difference between doing it ad hoc and doing it professionally. You got to like look at it programmatically because you run out of resources very quickly. There's only so much of you to go around. Okay. So I actually have this pipeline that I've never seen in a product before. But I think you might have it, actually, Grin. I had targets, people I was handshaking with, I contacted, we're just flirting. You know, everything's dating to me, by the way. You'll see the you'll see my KPI at the end. It's all basically dating. So you look targets and then people that we're flirting with, we made a contract.
That's the Tinder remark at the top of the podcast.
By the way, we all learn how to do relationship marketing from like high school dances. I swear to God, like it's ridiculous to me, but that's how all the bad habits you learn is from all your fears as a teenager. Anyway, so, you know, I mark them all down who I want to contact. I reach out to, you know, them in order. I have a handshaking. Then we're contacting, and then I do the indecent proposal and trying to find some opportunity, get a spec, and then try to do some tactical action with them. Usually it's Marcom action.
Okay.
And that's hit one. And then you usually have to do a second hit, like a third hit, just to prove that you're reliable. And the reason why that's important, don't forget, they're freaking out. You know, they don't trust you because they don't know if they can get results from you. You want to show that you're the best partner they've ever had.
Yeah.
And you have to project manage your partners because they're not going to be able to focus on you because they don't know whether you're reliable, whether you're worth investing in. So you need to demonstrate leadership and actually drive that action with them. And what happens in the end, you know, is first you'll learn that the biggest partners, the most exciting partners are the ones who deliver nothing to you because if they're big to you, you're small to them. And the smallest partners, the converse, you're big to them, but they're small to you. They may not have enough resources to deliver, but it's the ones in the middle that you don't know anything about, you're not sure about. They're the ones who actually deliver the most because, you know, they have the most to gain and they have the most to give. And you can't predict. So you run them kind of in programs. I try to group my partners into similar types. So I'm using the same campaign over and over again. Because otherwise, you're just bouncing around from different like random strategy, ad hoc, one partner at a time. Each one would be different. You can't run a company that way yourself. Every one becomes a new thought. You have to just run the same campaign across multiple partners. And kind of it's like roulette wheel. You want to put your chips across, you know, many partners at once, hoping some of them will pan out.
Yeah.
And then what will happen is if you do enough tactics that way, some of them will find, oh my God, you're the most reliable partner I've ever had. We want to do more with you. And when I had this KPI when I was at FreshBooks for my partner team, it was a heart, you know, I took an emoji heart and I made that their KPI because I'm a crazy person. And I said to my team, your goal is to get hearts won. It's like, what does that even mean? It's like, means when your partners come to you unsolicited, you didn't bother them, you didn't talk to them, you didn't prompt them with an opportunity because you were top of mind. You were the first partner they thought of when this opportunity comes. That means you've won their heart. You know, that is, impossible for a competitor to take away from you. Right. And that's when the opportunities start coming to you. That's when the investment returns is when stuff starts flooding towards you. And this is all out of Jeffrey Moore, Crossing the Chasm. This is not like I invented this. This is what relationship marketing is about. It's like proving to the other person that you are a true partner and that it's worth their time investing in you because you will invest in them and they will think of you first and the opportunities will come to you first. And the market therefore gets tilted towards you because you're the best. You know, people care about you. They value you. You know, if your partners think you're the best, the customers, of course, will think you're the best. You've won the position. And that's really what it's about. It's about positioning. Like I told you, partnership people are about positioning. That is what Al Ries and Jack Trout were talking about. You want to get to position one. You want people to think of you first. Yeah. When there's an opportunity. And that means your partners as well. That was a very long answer, but like I find a lot of these questions are often backwards. You got to think from the customer and then how the partnership wants.
Yeah, they definitely interweave with one another. And if I had to really kind of summarize what it is that you were saying, and you know, I'm definitely butchering the summary here, but it's basically from the relationship aspect, reverse engineer it to the partnership, to the brand, right? So, and basically what you're trying to find is, or what you're trying to execute is fish where the fish are. And that's how you find your partners and develop those relationships authentically between, you know, yourself, a brand and the partners, because that's going to come across to your customer at the very end. But you kind of also have to you have to treat the customer well too in order to get them to continue to come back. And it's almost in building those brand relationships and building strong relationships with those brands, not with the brands, with partners, is going to allow that continuous return on investment on that relationship. Because if it's not like that authentic connection, then they're not going to reach the customer in the same way. So basically fish where the fish are. That's how you find your partners, right? Yep. And then create authentic relationships with those brand partners so that you truly, you know, have hearts won. Hearts won, W-O-N.
Yeah. And what I'm trying to break down is, yeah, what does authentic mean? I think people say that, but if you don't know how to do it, it's like, it feels like we're talking magic, right? So what does authentic mean? Like, think again, bring it back to dating, right? If I, you know, when I was dating, you know, my wife, you know, I would do stuff for her, but you know, immediately, you know, I didn't want to do all the work in the dating relationship. So I kind of asked her at the beginning, it's like third date. I was like, why don't you try organizing the third date right away? You know, just to set the tone of a relationship. It's supposed to be a partnership, right? You know, I was dating to get married, you know? So I was like, let's see if, you know, we can build a relationship. Right. And so right from the beginning, I was like, well, I'll organize this one. You organize the next one. Right. And so when you're doing that with your partners, it's the same thing. It's supposed to be a partnership. So so many people in partnerships just view their partner data Rolodex as tactical targets. Like, you need to execute this tactic for me. I'm like, I don't care about you. I have my own things to worry about. I'm only going to do this because the threat of loss of this relationship.
Yeah.
Often what comes out
my own agenda.
If you were properly thinking about partnerships and being authentic, it's like you would learn, understand who they are first. You know, shut the fuck up is the first rule of sales, right? Let us listen to the partner. Understand what they need, who they are, who their business is. And then as you're going in the world, organize opportunities for your partners and then invite them to come. So, you know, like, this is why cocktail parties are good, or getting them to speak at a conference, or organizing, you know. That is a difference between being an efficient partnership person and being an also-ran. The friendship's paradox is, on average, your friends have more friends than you. The reason why is that there are some people who are so much more connected than most people, and that everyone needs to be friends with them in order to have a social life, because they're the ones who organize all the parties. Now, in partnerships, you want to be that person. You want to be the person organizing all the opportunities for all your partners, right? Including, you know, including brand partnerships, you know, so it's not just sending them swag in the mail and getting them to like do an Instagram thing for you. You want to start organizing things to grow their audience and bring them along. You need to get the train moving yourself and invite them to hop on your train, right? So that you collectively are building the market. That's authentic. That's really what authentic partnerships is, because they need to grow too, you know, and it's not that hard. It's like, organize a conference, organize a webinar, organize a cocktail party, organize a brand bundle, organize a PR campaign, organize a social media campaign together. Like, not around your brands, but around the customer, but bring your brand, all these people in. It's not that hard to invent like things to bring them along with, but that's what it takes. And then you're going to be the first person they think of, because they don't want to get thrown off the train, right? You know, if you're always the one organizing, they're going to come up with stuff for you. It's not cynical. It's just how any relationship
absolutely
works. That's my evil plan. I organize a lot of open bars for people. It's basically what
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're all humans.
In fact, I'm going to be at Social Media Marketing World. we have the exclusive to organize the party.
You're so funny. That's how you make friends fast. That's what I tell you.
That's right. That's right.
Well, this kind of dive into partnerships and just kind of relationship marketing has been completely enlightening. Now it's time for predictions. I'm really interested in hearing what you see happening in the world of marketing over the next 1 to 2 years.
We will eventually leave our basements. That'd be great. I would be excited to be free again, to move around the world. I was just talking about, I took a trip to San Francisco just as Omicron news hit. I was in the airport. My wife texted me, "Have you read the news?" I don't read the news anymore. Borders closed. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, this will come to an end. And I think it's going to be the Great Gatsby period right after. Everyone's going to be partying all the time. You could see it, right? In that brief period of time from like August to October, everyone was at all the events. And then it kind of shut down again. It will be happening. So I'm planning to be, for instance, at San Diego for Social Media Marketing World. And, you know, anyone who wants to chip into that party, you know, we're organizing that for all the sponsors. Contact me. That's March 14th, 16th. That'll be pretty good. 2,500 social media marketers. That's be a good event. And then then my own conference, SaaS Connect for all the partnership people, will be April 27, 28. Yeah. We moved it twice. So it's still SaaS Connect 2020. I still have the keynote. It's like, hindsight is 2020 is my keynote. I haven't changed it in 2 years. I'm like a little sad. I need a little antsy.
So more events.
Well, I think it's really what's going to happen. I think people need to be in person again. So what's going to happen in the next year is there's going to be a lot of in-person marketing. So if you want to do influencer marketing, it's going to be really event-based. Like, it has to be.
Yeah.
Like, what are we all missing? Like, what's the thing that's really going to break through is like actually connecting with people. Being online is not, it's not as effective. I mean, no offense, but everyone has a podcast now, right? And everyone has a webinar, and everyone has an online community, a Slack community, because this is all we've had left. And so it's not as impactful. Yeah. People just want the opposite of whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think also physical shipments are also going to be a big deal as well. They shut down for a long time because office addresses were gone. But I think now people going back to the offices, you're going to see a lot more stuff from like, to ship to you, like Sendoso, Postal.io, or some of the members of the CSA. And, you know, they can already see the uptick in shipments now that offices are open again. So I think that will be big. Anything atomic, anything physical is going to be the next year. 2 years from now, I don't know. VR, are we going to all be on Meta? I don't know. We have glasses like this.
We're all going to be on Meta, like, because we've had enough of seeing each other from from so many experiential marketing events, right? So many in-person events.
That's right.
Well, I love those predictions. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Hopefully that wasn't too rapid fire.
Sunir is a riot. His ability to connect relationship marketing and dating is hilarious, but also very true. Treating customers with value is so important to create authentic partnerships. And while I did sum up his view on partnership as basically fishing where the fish are, lots of different analogies were flying around during this episode. It essentially means find brand partners that help solve the problems that your customers are having. That's where they're looking anyways. By approaching it from that perspective, you can ensure that as a brand, you're providing value while also sharing your brand story. Want to hear more? Be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes. Give us some stars. I wouldn't mind 5 of them. And leave us a review. I want to hear what you like. Connect with me on social. You can find me on LinkedIn. And if you're interested in learning more about Grin, visit our website at grin.co. That's grin.co. Until next time, keep grinning.